Well, hello, choir. Guess what? You got to love these things. Look, God brought us a special guest today. Isn't this awesome? All right. This is Romel. And I had to do it three times because you said the Caribbean, right?
Yes.
All right. Think of Rome, R-O-M-E, with an L at the end of it. Romel.
There we go.
Romel had, he made a deal with God. God bless you, and his honor is a deal with God. God, he was down in a low place. He's going to share his testimony with us. He said, Lord, if you pull me out of this, I'm going to go share my testimony with how many churches?
10,000.
10,000. And you're on, and what number are you on now?
34. This is about to be 35.
This will be 35 then. Woo! So bring it on, my brother. Share.
Stand in front of the mic if you will. Share that with us. Thank you.
Hi, good night, choir.
Good evening.
Like you said, my name is Romel Rovello, and I'm from the Caribbean island of Trinidad, which is just like south of Jamaica and stuff like that. And basically, I grew up in an extremely, extremely poor family. I'm the last of my mom's four kids. And like when I say poor, I mean like we never, ever, ever had food in the house. Like if the neighbors didn't give us something to eat, or if there were no fruits on the trees outside and stuff like that, then we would have nothing to eat. And, you know, by the time I was 11 years old, I was on my own because my mom's house had burnt down and stuff like that. And I was sleeping on the streets, on the sidewalks, and eating from trash cans and sleeping in abandoned cars and stuff like that from 13 until I was 17 and a half years old. And, you know, I had to endure a lot of stuff while I was living on the streets. Like, there are things that if it wasn't for the love of Christ, I wouldn't even want to remember or even speak about some of the things that I've been through. But I think the worst, actually not even the worst, I think the most profound thing that happened to me while I was living on the streets is back in 2004, when I was 15 years old, I was asleep on a park bench and someone just came up to me and they poured acid on my face. And you know, the shock and the horror that awoke me that morning, you know, it remains in my mind forever, like as a testimony as to how cruel and how violent the world could be. And like from that, I utterly rejected God. I debunked the very notion of his existence. I wanted nothing to do with this all-perfect, all-powerful, all-loving God who's in control of every situation and works all things out for his good. Like, no. I felt like I had to endure too much burdens as a young boy for such a loving God to exist, right? And I was becoming this very mean and very nasty person, this angry person. I just hated everyone that looked happy and everyone that had a home to go to, everyone that had some sort of family life, you know? And like my life became so depressing that I would always tell myself, Romel, there is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. This life is all there is. I do not want to live this life. And, you know, one day while I was saying that to myself, I was standing on the sidewalk and I was just repeating it over and over in my head. There's no heaven and there's no hell and there's no God and this life is all there is and I do not want this life. And as I was saying that, there came a gas carrier truck. There was coming a gas carrier truck in my direction, like about 90, 95 miles an hour. And like, I just envisioned in my mind, this truck would just hit me. I would time it with such precision time and it would just hit me. I would feel nothing. I would just be instantly dead. All my problems would be over. So I timed this truck and I waited until it was like about 15 feet away from me. And I ran out into the middle of the street, and I closed my eyes. And in like a second, I could hear the tires screeching coming towards me. And then like, I could smell like the oil, like from the engine of the truck. And I opened my eyes and the truck was right there in my face. And it didn't really matter that I was saying that there's no God before that, because as soon as my mouth opened, the only thing that could have come out of my mouth was, my God, my God, my God. Like, even the truck driver, he got out and he started to look below the truck and he started to look behind the truck because he was convinced that there was no way in this world that truck could have stopped. But, You know, the God that I now serve, he's out of this world. So he was capable of doing that. But I still didn't believe in him. Then I still went on to be angry and mean and nasty because I had to endure such a high level of discrimination. Like, my face, it looks really, really, really good right now. And that's because it's been 9 years, and also God has blessed me with some of the top plastic surgeons in the world that have done 12 surgeries for me so far. And but way back then, when it was really bad, I went into a restaurant in my community one day, and the lady that was sitting by the front, the first table there, she turned around and she looked at me, and she immediately began to throw up her food at the sight of me. And the owner of the restaurant, she came in. She's like, get out, get out, get out. What are you doing in here? Are you crazy? Get out of here. And she chased me away. And the majority of the restaurants in my community, they started to tell me, listen, you cannot come through our front door. If you want some food, listen, we're not even going to charge you for it. You come to the back alley by the trash cans and you come knock on the back door. Do not come into our restaurant. And stuff like that had me really depressed. Like, I couldn't take a taxi. Taxis, buses, nothing would stop for me. And this one night, I was sitting in an alley, so depressed of my situation that I looked up and I saw a steel pipe running from one building to the next. And I got up off of my chair. I climbed up. I took my t-shirt off and I tore it. Tied it up there. Fashioned a noose around my neck. Took a breath. And I jumped off to that chair. And I could have feel the veins tightening in my body. The life was literally escaping from my lungs. When all of a sudden, out of the darkness, in the shadows, a figure just arose. There was a guy. He was a street dweller. He was a crackhead. He was a thief. He was one of my best friends. After that, he was one of the best blessings in my life, because I didn't know he was there. I was sitting there for like 30 minutes and he was right there. And as the life started to escape my lungs, like, this figure just arose and grabbed hold of my legs, and I started to fight with him, and he said, no, you cannot die. God has a plan for your life. So God saved my life again a second time from my own hands, and I still wanted nothing to do with him. Like, it got so bad that I felt like this God that I didn't believe in was cheating me out of my happiness. I felt like death could be the only happiness I could attain, and like he was just withholding this from me. So I went from having an atheistic mind frame to having an anti-theistic mind frame. And I would go about and I would slander God's name, and I would curse the saints out, and I was just the worst. And this one night, I was digging in a trash can looking for some food. And I came across a bottle of prescription pills, full to the brim. And I went back to the parking lot that I was sleeping in. And I took my cardboard and I dragged it all the way to the back, in the dark, in the shadows, where no one could see me, no one could stop me. This was going to be my end. And I took all those pills and I drank a bottle of water. And I passed out in like 2 seconds. And then 2 days later, I woke up. I was in the ICU. God had, for a third time, saved my life from my own hands. And, you know, the scripture said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, I could tell you guys, when I woke up in that ICU and the breath of life was still in my body, there was nothing else I could have done. I just had to cry out to God. And I was crying out to him in bitterness and in anger and in frustration. And I said, God, I do not want to live this life. Why can't I die? Why can't I end it, God? But I said, it appears that maybe you just might have some sort of plan or some sort of purpose for me. But I don't want it, God. But if you give me a reason to live this life, then I'll live it for you. And, you know, like I said, my mission is to testify to 10,000 congregations. But I also have another mission, which is I want to ask 10,000 congregations, when you're praying, whether you're praying corporately or you're at home in your prayer closet, if you could just try to remember this group that is called the Gideons. Because let me tell you something about this group. They placed Bibles in hotel rooms and hospital rooms and wherever they could place them. And somehow a Bible was placed by the Gideons in my ICU room. And I opened a drawer and I saw that Bible there and I took it out. And I opened it and it opened to John. And I was reading John 14:19, and Jesus Christ said something so profound. It was simple. Because I live, you also shall live. You know, I just took that and I ran with it and I offered him my life and I asked him to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and to wash me and to make me pure and make me whole. And the hospital discharged me and I went back to my parking lot and I slept and I woke up. Well, let me go really fast. 5 minutes gone. I just catch myself like 5 minutes has been gone. So, church, I made a fundamental mistake after I accepted Christ in my life in March of 2009. For almost 4 years, I attempted to attain my own righteousness. I felt like, and religious people told me that, listen, you have been so bad. You have done so this much bad that you need to do this much good so that you could stand before God. And for 4 years, I walked around trying to be this really good person, and I would never jailwalk, and I would never litter. I would help old people carry their groceries, and I'll wait on the blind guy and cross him across the street every day. I'll give as much charity as I could, and I'll walk around, and I'll feel so nice. I'll feel like, wow, Romel, you've really changed. You've transformed. You've become such a good person. I wish someone had told me that I was wasting 4 years of my life trying to be so good, because, you know, I'm now like rediscovering the Bible and I'm now learning that he says that all of my righteousness is like filthy rags, right? And I'll tell you guys why it was a fundamental mistake, because the real issues that I had was like anger and depression and bitterness and jealousy and all these things, all matters of the heart. And no man is able to fix his own heart. So I was walking around good on the outside, but my heart was still so messed up. And like I said, I have some of the best plastic surgeons in the world right now. And my personal doctor is in Chicago, Dr. Jay Pensler. And in February of this year, I was going to Dr. Pensler's office. And I got to the airport a little bit late, and I was flying with American Airlines. And they told me that the boarding had already commenced, and they can't issue me a boarding pass. Pay $700 and fly the next day, miss your appointment, miss everything. And, okay, you know the scripture says that nothing that goes into the mouth could defile a man, only that which comes out, because out of the heart comes all these defiling things. The abundance of defiling things comes out of the heart. And I saw how out of my heart in 2 seconds came all these defiling things, and I started to curse, and I started to rant and rave, and I started to threaten. I was like, if I ever see you in the street again, I'm gonna... No. I've learned since 9/11, do not make any threats in the airport. They labeled me as a terrorist. They started to file to have me blacklisted. American Airlines filed to have me blacklisted. And the cops came in like about 30 seconds. And they handcuffed me and they took me into an interrogation room. And they were about to charge me with obscene language and resisting arrest and disturbing the peace and all the other charges that come along with it. And I was sitting there and I began to cry out to God once more. And the first thing I said, God, what is going on with me? Like, look at the mess that my mouth has just put me into. What is happening? And again, he says in his word, he says that my sheep hear my voice and they obey. And it was the first time in that ICU room, his voice spoke to me. And he said, Romel, why are you trying to fix these things? Why are you trying to live so righteous? Why are you trying to do this on your own? Why don't you allow me to use you? Why don't you allow me to empty you and fill you the way I want you to be filled? And I said, God, you could use me, God. I'm willing, God. And he said, you willing? And I said, yes, God. He said, okay, when you get to Chicago this afternoon, I'll tell you what to do. I was like, I'm blacklisted. I'm not going to Chicago. And he said something so profound. He said, I am God. when you get to Chicago, I will tell you what to do. Rejoice. And so I was sitting there, and I said, okay, and I just, the song just came to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. And the cops start looking at me like I'm crazy. Because what does he have to rejoice about? We're about to charge him. He's blacklisted. He'll never fly. He'll never leave this island. He'll never get his face fixed. What does he have to rejoice about? But in 2 minutes, the manager from American Airlines came in and he said, officers, I hope you guys not planning on charging Mr. Rovello, because we're not going to blacklist him anymore. As a matter of fact, we have a flight leaving in an hour. It's going to Miami, and we could connect him to another flight to Chicago, and he could be in Chicago to see his doctor this afternoon. And church, he went into his wallet. He took out his business card. He said, listen, Romel, if you ever need a flight to or from your doctors again, you just call me. We have you covered. And church, I went from being blacklisted to upgraded to priority boarding. They told me, listen, you choose whatever seat you want in economy class. Whoever is sitting there, we'll just reassign them. And when I got to Chicago, after 9 days, God told me, listen, I delivered you. You made a promise to me, and I delivered you. Are you going to keep your end? So, church, I decided that, or rather it was revealed to me that, listen, I'm going to write a book on my life story. And I'm going to use my life story and all the hardship and all the tribulation and trials and all the glory that I've been through God, that I would show his glory in my life through my story. And that is when I decided that when I write my book, I'm going to share my testimony with 10,000 congregations, because people need to know that God is still a loving God. He's still a merciful God. He's still a God who is willing to do it for you, even if he's a God that stays faithful to you, even if you're not faithful to him. So this is number 35 out of 10,000. So I have 9,965 more to go. And I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity for me to share with you. You guys just keep trusting in God. He is able. If, like I said, I feel like Paul. I feel like of sinners, I was the worst. Listen, you could not have sinned like me. And if he would do it for me, then how much? So he said, listen, if you as bad parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will I give good gifts to you? And that is the kind of God that we serve, that I now serve, that I have committed my life to. And I've been seeing his glory. I've been seeing his mercy and his grace every single day. And I suffered from severe ADD all my life, and I've never been committed to anything. It's by his divine grace that I completed my book. The devil has tried to snuff out my life so many times because he knew that one day I was going to be bringing glory to God's name. They told me I'll never live to see 17, but you know what? Tomorrow's December 19th, and tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm about to be 25. God has preserved my life to this, and I know he will preserve me. I know God might find it necessary to bless me with the age of some of you guys. I have my hope, and I have my expectations, and I have my promises in God. And I know all of you have promises in God. All of you have things that you trust in God, that he be God. There are things that man cannot do for us. There are things that no doctor or no physician, nobody could do for us but God. And I'm just asking you guys, just keep trusting in him. He's faithful. He's just. He's going to deliver. Thank you guys very much. Have a great choir practice. God bless.